ER101. In conjunction with the American College of Emergency Physicians, get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER 101 from the American College of Emergency Physicians. Thanks for being here. We have a fabulous show today. I want to get right to this because this is something that happened to me not too long ago. But we're going to talk about animal bites. They can be frightening as well as medical emergencies. And you need to know, you know, what you should worry about, what kind of first aid should you do, and our expert is going to tell us all about that, the difference between wild animal bites and domestic animal bites. So I want to introduce our guest. He's quite the medical expert, Dr. Richard O'Brien. He's the Associate Professor of Emergency Medicine at the Commonwealth Medical College of Pennsylvania in Scranton. He's also a columnist for Bottom Line Health and an editor of Bottom Line Health's Daily Health News, and from the American College of Emergency Physicians, he's a recipient of the Communication Lifetime Achievement Award. So thank you, Dr. O'Brien, for being here. We really appreciate it.
Good morning, my friend.
So, you know, let's talk about this because I had an incident where I tried to save a feral cat. And we'll break it all down. But I remember, you know, a friend of mine from the ER is like, you know, besides the antibiotics, you really need to consider rabies. And I was like, come on, cat bite, really? And it ran away, of course. It was stuck in someone's engine. There's my do-gooder. No good deed goes unpunished. And Absolutely, I called the state epidemiologist who said if it was him, he would think about it. But let's start from the beginning, just about bites in general and what people should think about and know when it comes to animal bites.
Animals are best avoided, if you can. I have to tell you that your story, we had a case like that. We had a bunch of college kids who adopted a feral cat in the city of Scranton. And it must have been exposed to maybe 20 or 30 girls that lived in several houses, you know, in the neighborhood. And that cat ended up to be rabid. And we ended up immunizing, I don't know, 20, 30 kids. So I was cringing when you told me that story. I think feral animals should be left alone, number one. Number two, wild animals should be left alone. If you've ever been down to Washington, D.C., at the mall, and I don't mean where you buy things, I think the mall by the monuments, you'll see people holding their hands out to the squirrels to take nuts and popcorn and so forth from their hands. Those people are crackers. Those people are crazy. You know, if you want to feed a stray animal, I mean, I don't think that's a good idea anyway.
Feed Congress, right.
but yeah, let Congress feed the stray animal. But if you want to feed a stray animal, you put the food down and you walk away. But, you know, getting back to where we were, I mean, the most important thing about animal bites is, you know, what's the animal? You know, is it a pet?
Right.
As a pet, it may be immunized. The laws in Pennsylvania, where I'm at, are pretty strict. I mean, you will immunize your animal. Otherwise, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars of fines. And they have a pretty good system. You can pretty much figure out whether the animal was immunized or not, as long as you have an owner. And if the animal is up to date, as far as rabies goes, you're okay. But then you have to worry about infection.
Right. So, okay, so let's break it down. So you get bit, because I have to say, there was just in the news here in Baltimore, which is, I'm starting to think it could be the pit bull capital of the United States. Everybody has one in Baltimore. A woman's own pit bull attacked her. So evidently, and I've, you know, you and I have both seen this in the ER many times, people get bit by their own animal. So assuming that that you've done the right thing and your animal has been immunized against rabies, what's the next thing you need to think about if you were bit by your own dog?
Well, you make sure, you know, you're safe, the animal is safe, and then you get to the soap and water and you clean out the wound as best you can. Now, if it's a very, very large wound, I've seen some pit bulls do amazing work on somebody's leg.
Yes.
You know, huge wounds, but you may need to dial 911 and wrap the wound as best you can and stop the bleeding. But, you know, your average dog bite just needs soap and water. And then I use bacitracin ointment. It's the least expensive, and it works as good as anything else. You know, I do believe personally in the adage, clean as a hound's tooth. You know, dog bites tend not to get infected because they tend to be open wounds. But some of them need to be sutured. You know, if you see structures, you see little yellow bubbles, and that's fat. And no matter how slim you are, you still have some fat under your skin popping out, and you can't approximate the wounds, you know, with a Band-Aid or something small. Then you need to get to the hospital and get that fixed.
Right. But also, when you get to the hospital, I mean, sometimes the wounds are brought together not super tight initially because we do worry about infection developing after the wounds close too tightly. So some of those are brought together so the scarring is minimized. But, you know, what's your view on that, whether it should be a nice tight closure or it should be a little loose so if you do get an infection, it can drain?
Yeah, I agree with you. It should be brought together as reasonably as possible, but not super tight. Now, if it's a facial wound, like you know, a tiny little nip on a cheek or something, you know, they tend not to get infected. But if it's a hand, you know, or a foot, we're going to be getting into sandal season pretty soon. An awful lot of foot wounds, and if that's the case, I leave them open. You know, I scrub them up as best I can. I irrigate them out. The one thing we have at the hospital that the average person doesn't have at home is anesthetics, like lidocaine. You know, we can inject the wound, and we can then really clean it well, whereas you could never stand the pain of that if you weren't numb. That's one of the huge advantages of coming to the hospital. We can really clean it out well. And if we're talking about, you know, other wounds, you know, antibiotics sometimes are indicated there.
Right. So, and cats are the notorious ones. They have very sharp teeth. Sometimes they're puncture wounds in cats. Really carry a bacteria, right? So they usually do get infected. So those definitely need antibiotics, wouldn't you agree?
I agree. I put antibiotics oral and or IV sometimes because I've seen wounds 18 hours old that are crawling up somebody's arm or crawling up somebody's leg as far as the infection goes. They're very impressive. Cats have conical teeth. They're like cones, and they're almost like fangs in a snake, and they really do inject this Pastorella bacteria that they carry in their mouths. It's a really nasty bug. It causes a nasty infection.
Right, yeah. Almost every cat bite I've seen has been infected, too. So when people think, oh, it's just a little tiny dot, let's just leave it alone. And, you know, puncture wounds, it speaks to the issue of not being able to drain as well. You know, puncture wounds, you know, the bacteria can kind of build up in there and can't get out. So anything that's like that should be looked at, don't you agree?
I agree, and let me give your listeners some very staid advice. If two cats are fighting and you want to separate them, grab them by the tails.
Oh, really?
Can't they
reach around and bite you? Because I was trying to pull this little kitten out by its tail.
I guess they can. But what I have seen work, you know, I live very rural, and we have a lot of farms up here. And when a bunch of cats get into it, I have seen with my own eyes a really good snug, like you're trying to, you know, give the cat a ride, and it upsets the animal, and it upsets the other animal that's attacking that animal, and you pull them back real hard by the tail, and it's really hard for them to hurt you, and it tends to separate them, and it's the safest way. If the worst thing in the world is to get between the cat's faces, because you're going to get bit, or get anywhere near their front claws, because you're going to get scratched.
Yes.
And I've seen dogs separated that way too. You know, when two people are walking their dog in the park, they tend to pull by the leash around the dog's neck. I have seen it with my own eyes. Pull the dog's tail. It works a whole lot better. Don't let go of the leash. But even if the other owner isn't around, you just separate them by pulling on the tail. And if you have to do it, that's probably the safest way to do it, in my view.
And hopefully you have a breed where they haven't lopped off the tail.
That would be difficult.
That would be difficult. But those breeds tend to be a little calmer sometimes. But that's very good advice, is really to stay away from animals or stay away from getting in between. But it's hard when it's your own animal being attacked. So, but that's an important advice to think about. But stay tuned. We're going to, we'll talk next about wild animals and what you have to worry about with regard to rabies and things like that. So stay tuned, and we will definitely continue our discussion with Dr. O'Brien.